Welcome to the Positive Communication Show with your host, Matthew Cooper, where crisis meets communication. Join Matthew on the journey of skills, techniques, and wisdom on empowering your communication and enriching your relationships. Matthew has been a student and practitioner of self-help skills and crisis communications for over 20 years. He owns Positive Control Systems, a crisis communication and intervention business, and teaches these skills to parents, teenagers, and professionals. Here is your host, Matthew Cooper.
Radio. Welcome, everyone. For those that are new, thank you for entrusting me with this next hour. And I hope that you're able to get some good information here and you enjoy the show. Those that have come back for some more, oh yeah, come get some more. We've got some good material tonight. I wanted to give a brief overview of what it is that I do and why I have this positive communication show on Om Times Radio. First off, with the show, the Positive Communication Show, I in the past changed the name from Positive Control System Show. My business, Positive Control Systems, is a crisis intervention program, or I should say business, which teaches a couple of different programs to the troubled youth homes, mostly in the United States right now. I have a number across Utah and about, I think, 12 or 13 different states right now where I teach these different crisis communication and intervention skills. The two programs I teach, the first one is called Positive Control Systems, which is about 20 years old. And then about 2+ years ago, I came up with what I call the Informed Crisis Care Program. Now, the crisis intervention programs that I teach, they focus on the communication skills that you use. Because all behavior is communications. Everything that you do, everything that you say, all the body language you use, the clothes you wear, the hair you have, or don't have, and the way you style it or don't style it is all going to be communicating to everyone around you, and then they're also communicating to you in that same way. And so with that Positive Control Systems program, it was developed about 20+ years ago, been in use ever since, and it focuses on being able to use the understanding of your body language as well as the other we call them nonverbals, the analogs you're using, such as your voice tones, your body language, the we call actions of consideration, such as being on time or your appearance, and the, paying attention to someone when they're talking to you, these kinds of different communication skills. Adding to that physical skills to help take care of an individual who's out of control physically. Now, 20 years ago, the youth industry was pretty scary. It was really scary. There were a lot of physical altercations, fights between the staff members and the youth. Back at that time, it was not too unheard of to have people getting broken arms or even getting stabbed in the facility. It was really, really bad. And our program was brought in to be able to overcome that, which it did to a wonderful, wonderful success. And it uses pain compliance with our physical skills in case we need to control someone who's bigger than us, stronger than us, and we need to have better control and techniques and skills to be able to handle that. Well, as time has passed and the political climate has passed, and pretty much the quality and the mindset of the youth going into these programs has changed, I have also adapted to that and created this informed crisis care program. Yes, some programs do still have those violent youth, and they are violent. And yet others, a vast majority of them, are picking and choosing which youth they want. So they're weeding out those violent ones, which will go to other programs. And so I work with a lot of those other programs that are using these nonviolent clients, these youth who are coming to them. And then I have a non-pain compliant program, which is not using any pain to be able to control them. It's using structural understanding and the binding of the joints when you understand how to control them without having to cause any pain to that individual. So it's very, very effective, both of those programs. And because they're so effective, it's one reason why they've been in business for so long. And the communications that I'm teaching and I'm talking about have not been available to the public, the general public, until just this last year when I developed the Empowered Parent Program. Actually, I'd say this year, not this last year, but this year. And the Empowered Parent Program is a program teaching some of these same skills in communication, adding to that information how to also be able to better work as a parent rather than as a worker or a professional in this industry. So now this is for parents, helping them understand, okay, my child is not doing well here. How can I be able to help them? It's tremendous. It makes a huge difference. I'm a single father of five. Four of my five are teenagers. And for the most part, we get along great. Is it perfect? No. Never is going to be perfect. Perfect is, I think, something that's only to be imagined and not to be experienced. However, the experience that I do have with my children is very good. And I make mistakes. They make mistakes. We learn. We grow. We improve. And we communicate together. It's a very important part. I have a friend who recently contacted me. She's a business associate. She heard, oh, you do this stuff with kids? Oh, I need help. So in chatting with her and in also counseling with her over the past week, oh, she has some challenges, some serious challenges. And to help you understand some things, she also has five children. She was also divorced about the same time I was. And the dad is now, I believe, in Florida. He's no longer around and available for the kids, doesn't even call or contact him, which is unfortunate. And she is trying to work with her teenagers, and most of hers are teenagers, and trying to force them to follow through and do what she wants. That's an issue. That is a big issue. And parents, this is one of the things that my Empowered Parent program teaches. Parents need to understand that your children, as they're growing, they're trying to become an adult the same way that you attempted to become an adult, sometimes before they're ready for it. And yet, in that desire to be an adult, part of that is also desiring to be recognized for their age, not as a child, but now they're becoming an adult or a young adult. And as they are wanting or desiring that acknowledgement, that recognition, they're also wanting respect. And when they have that respect, oftentimes they'll reciprocate it more. So you talk to them nice, they'll oftentimes talk to you nice. It takes time. It takes consistency. It takes practice. It takes willingness for you to change, if you will, the status quo, to rock the boat. You're making some changes to the way that they're used to living, and that's not comfortable for anyone. It may not be comfortable. It's necessary. Okay, it's extremely necessary if you're wanting to be able to have the success in working with your children. And this young lady who I'm speaking of, she doesn't quite understand that yet. She wants the kids to change. She wants them to be fixed because, of course, they're the problem. And I'm attempting to help her understand, hey, listen up, girl. You are the one that is influencing these children. You're the one that is, in some ways, directly responsible for the way they are acting right now. She mentioned she has one child who's really enjoying the marijuana. And this is not even a teenager anymore. She's actually into her 20s. And okay, if that's what they choose to do, that's fine. However, this is at home, her home, and she won't even leave the house. She'll just stay there all day and smoke. Well, that's not cool. That, to me, tells me there's an issue, a depression issue or some other type of mental or emotional issue that's going on. That girl needs some help. The mom's frustrated, doesn't know what to do, has tried to force her, has tried to force her daughter to get a job, to get out and work, to do something, to get out of her room even, and she's having a very difficult time. Another son of hers, he's 15, and he hid under his bed. He hid under his bed to get out of going to school. She didn't know. She thought he'd gone to school. She comes back. Well, what are you doing here? He's left school by hiding under his bed. And I mentioned some other things to her on that. And what are some of the issues? It sounds like he's trying to avoid something. What is he trying to avoid? Does he have friends that he doesn't get along with? Does he have teachers or classes that he's not doing well in? And come to find out, he's in an AP class at school, and it's more difficult for him. And I think that he's probably trying to avoid that. and other possibly other factors to avoid that, so he's not having to go and face that. The pain, the rejection, the failure, whatever it may be he is feeling, he's attempting to avoid that. And helping her understand, she is very close to it, so emotionally very close to it. And that's why I think having a person that can be a mentor, you can call it a coach. I don't like the name of coach, though, because coaching somebody is like you're off on the sidelines. Hey, I haven't done this before, but hey, yeah, you can do it. You can do it. I'm not going to give someone a rah-rah speech. I'm a mentor. I've been through a lot of these situations or these types of issues. I have lived it, and I've also been working in the industry now for 8 years or more now. And so understanding, I've seen these situations happen over and over, and it's pretty consistently common. There are certain ways to handle it. And one of the things I asked her first to do was, okay, first off, stop right now. Take a breath. And then take another breath. All right. Just realize, all right, give yourself a second, calm down. And I asked her the question of, how do you eat an elephant? And people kind of look at me strange when I ask the question. I have to get them out of their emotional state. And I do that by asking them questions. If they are open and they are wanting to have some assistance, and I'm offering it, especially when they're clients, even better. When I'm offering it and they want to listen to me, I'll ask them a question. When they have to think of the answer to that question, especially if it's something a little bit farther out, they have to think. Thinking turns off their emotional part of their mind and clicks in the logical reasoning part of their mind. By being able to get into that logical reasoning state, she's able to calm down. I said, how do you eat that elephant? And I said, it has to be one bite at a time. One bite. And I said, how can you take a couple of bites right now? What will those bites be that you can do right now? And I gave her a couple of ideas and she started giving me some back. And all of a sudden, she's starting to see the possibility of some answers. Stick around, break is coming up. Be back in just a few moments.
You're listening to OTR FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgemeer, host of the Inspired Parenting Radio Show, where every week we bring you empowering information from the diverse fields of conscious parenting, education, neuroscience, consciousness, health, and metaphysics to support you in nurturing the best in your children. So if you're interested in understanding what shapes your children's minds, spirits, and hearts, join me every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and prepare to be inspired.
Join Elliot Jolish, the business therapist, each Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern for the Elliot Jolish Hour, as he interviews business experts on your behalf. And you're invited to email your business questions to questions@ecjgroup.com for answers, live, on air, every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on the Elliot Jolish Hour. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
This is OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Welcome back. This is Matthew Cooper with the Positive Communication Show on OM Times Radio. We were just talking about the need, this is my perspective, the need for people to understand that when you're presented with a problem, when you're presented with a challenge, especially when working with your kids, with your teens, with your smaller children even, when we make it too big of an issue, we overanalyze it or underanalyze it and just get very emotionally upset, it does not fix the problem. Okay? It doesn't fix it at all. In fact, it oftentimes makes it worse. And so, as I was mentioning, speaking to this friend of mine, when we get to that state, we need to stop, take a couple of breaths, calm ourselves down a bit, and then ask ourselves, okay, how do I eat an elephant? And the answer will come back one bite at a time. Make sure those bites are small enough. If they're too big, well, we don't want to be coughing and choking on some giant piece. Instead, we want to make sure that we are using small enough pieces that we feel that we can handle them. When we have that smaller amount, that smaller piece, that smaller bite, that will allow us to hopefully break down, they call it chunking, breaking down that problem into manageable pieces which don't feel so overwhelming. And for her, she was asking, okay, well, what do I do with my daughter? Okay, well, first off, it sounds like there may be some challenges with depression and other issues. Have you checked on the mental health going to a clinic? Does she have a therapist? If she doesn't, there should be a mental health office in your area that you can contact. Have you checked with a state provider, or possibly even if they have, if she needs to get in rehab? I don't know if she's on any other drugs or alcohol or any other substances. If that's the case, then maybe the state has something that can help her. These are some options. She says, well, I don't know. I've looked at it before and it hasn't worked. Okay, well, just because you've looked into it and haven't found something doesn't mean that you have exhausted that resource. How far did you go? Did you ask somebody, hey, this is what I'm looking for. Who should I talk to, or where can you direct me next? Oftentimes, if you ask somebody and their job is to help people, if you ask them sincerely and are asking their opinion, everyone wants to have their opinion given. It doesn't matter if that opinion is right or wrong. They want their opinion out there. So, you know what? I'm important. I am a person too, and I deserve to have my thoughts and my words and my wisdom shared with people. So when you ask their opinion, oftentimes you're going to get a great response. From there, with that opinion, you can then follow up and say, all right, what's the next step? What's the next small bite? Next small bite. Until all of a sudden, you may not have the whole elephant, but you may have a leg or two. You got the trunk. And, oh, man, you're just working this that carcass down. Oh, man, that elephant's disappearing, because you're making it manageable. And once you are able to handle that in a manageable way, it no longer is so overwhelming. You're seeing the progress and you're recognizing it. With her son, the one that was hiding under his bed, and I said, well, have you contacted the school? Have you talked to their counselors? Well, I've called them and they don't get back with me. I don't know what to do. I said, well, have you called them back? Well, no, I just called them that once. Okay, if you're only calling them once, they could be busy too. There might have been somehow that got lost, or they haven't gotten to it yet. And it was amazing. This is actually hilarious, because as I was mentioning this to her, the counselor in between, because we were texting back and forth, as I was speaking to her over the course of a few hours, she said the counselor actually got back with her. Oh, imagine that. So the person was working through their stack, most likely, of parents, aggrieved parents, of course. My child isn't getting A's. What's teacher's at fault here? Well, unfortunately, it's not the teacher. It's your child. And they don't want to hear that. So I'm sure the counselor was trying to find a nice, politically correct way to explain that to the parents. However, moving on, she did mention that the counselor is going to be talking with her son and being able to figure out what's going on. That's when I found out that he had some AP classes, some advanced placement classes, almost more college level. And for being 15 and being in the AP class, that's a lot of stress. I've had some AP courses, especially even in college. I had the AP calculus. Wow, that was tough. AP Calculus 2. I passed the first one. The second one, I'm like, I don't understand enough. I have to go back and I need to review my regular calculus to even understand this first one. So that was my experience with AP courses, and definitely a challenge. Definitely more is expected of you than in a regular class. And high school, These kids haven't had enough time, in my opinion, oftentimes, if they're thrown into an AP course, especially if it's mathematics, to really catch up. They expect more of you. They expect you to pick up on it faster. And there is a sharper learning curve. So they're going to check on that. The counselor is also going to ask if there's other factors that are coming into it. All of these things are things that I would recommend, and I would also talk to her about having done anyway. So that's great that the school counselor is going to be able to assist her. And she had contacted, I've noticed on Facebook, she's on one of the groups that I'm a part of, and she asked, is there anybody out there that is any males that are big and imposing? My kids aren't listening to me. And I'm almost grabbing my hair and pulling really hard because I'm frustrated recognizing, you know, I talked to you about this 2 or 3 days ago, and it seems that all those things, the hour and a half I spent on the phone with you didn't get through. Then I have to take a breath, step back, and say, okay, everyone is where they are. I cannot expect someone to be someplace that they're not. And what that means is there's a gentleman, Richard Bandler's his name. And Richard Bandler is one of the fathers of NLP, Neuro-Linguistic Programming. A brilliant gentleman. Did a lot with the hypnosis, especially the therapeutic type hypnosis, as well as learning about the different aspects of psychology, psychotherapy. There's really a lot of great, great material coming from Neuro-Linguistic Programming. He was the co-founder along with John Grinder. Now, Richard Bandler, in one of his books, he wrote that we cannot see the world as it is. We can only see it as we are. And that's one thing I had to recognize with this situation where she was asking for a large and imposing man to help her force her children to do what she asked. I was attempting to share my perspective where I am with her. And she wasn't able to recognize it because that's not where she was. It's where I was. And that's one of the main reasons why I changed that tact and changed the way I was working with her once I realized that she was not understanding. When I mentioned, okay, there needs to be some respect there, I didn't explain enough of the information behind so that way she was able to recognize my perspective and I was able to show it to her from where she is at now. Because whenever, especially for parents, whenever we're attempting to work with our children are not grown up. They're not adults. Well, in most cases, if you have younger children. If they're not adults, and even if they are adults, chances are they're younger than you. Yeah, imagine that. They're your kids. And so with them being younger than you, they have not received the same experiences you have. They do not have the same wisdom. They have not had the same heartaches and problems, which you've learned from, hopefully, and been able to find solutions for. And with that being the case, when you have not had that experience, how do you share with someone the experiences you've had in a way that they can understand? Well, one way is a story. If you say, well, I did this, most of the time, especially with teenagers, the people automatically turn off. They don't want to hear it. Whereas if you say, you know, there's this guy named Bob. He's a friend of mine. I knew him for years. And all of a sudden now it's no longer about you. It's about the other person. You could be making the story up from Bob's perspective. It's actually your experience. However, by putting it in somebody else's perspective, it's no longer pointing at you. And oftentimes, they're much more willing to listen. When they're willing to listen, then you can begin sharing with them some of these wisdoms. That's why many of the great teachers throughout history, I can think of the Siddhartha Gautama. I can think of Jesus the Christ. I can think of the Buddha. Well, Siddhartha Gautama being the original Buddha, but then you have these other Buddhas since then that have claimed that quote-unquote title of Buddha, and they all taught with parables, okay? When you have these parables, these stories, they're going to give the person a reference based on oftentimes their cultural background. When you have that cultural background, now you can put it in words and in manners that other person can understand. They have to understand from their perspective, seeing the world as they are. And when you can give that perspective to them, now they have a way of being able to apply it. I spoke with a woman yesterday, went to a great networking event. I'll talk about that here in a few moments. But I was speaking with her. She does a lot of the branding work and also working with the social media and the internet and different marketing aspects there. And I was mentioning how these skills work even with three-year-olds. She says, I have a three-year-old. I said, okay, here's an example. Have you experienced when you have that three-year-old and you hold up some clothes for them to wear that morning, they say, I don't want that. You give them another one. This here, choose this one. No, I don't want that one either. I don't want this one. I don't want that. They want to do it themselves. I've heard it over and over with my children and other children that I've worked with. I do it myself. They want to be very independent. That I'm big enough. I want to do it myself. Leave me alone, mom or dad. I want to do it myself. How do you handle that? How do you deal with a child that does that? What can you do to be able to have them work with you? You can't talk reasoning into them, right? Well, for the most part, you're right. I use what are called presuppositions. We are presupposing, we are expecting, or I don't like to use the word, but yes, we are assuming that that person is going to make one of these choices, and we can give them options that we feel are applicable or appropriate. In this case, it's which of these two, you can hold up two sets of clothing, which one do you want to wear, this one or this one? Well, I don't like that. I want to wear this over here. Nope, those aren't your choices. These are your choices. And instead of having to say, you will do this, what I've done with great success is saying, okay, I know you don't want these choices. And that's okay. You don't have to wear those. I know you like to watch your TV show. I know you like to use your tablet. And I know you like to play with your friends. Well, you don't have to go do those either. So you can make this choice, or that's okay. You don't have to make a choice. And you don't have to go and watch your TV show or play on your tablet. All of a sudden, maybe I should do what they have my mom or dad has to say. And then they can make that choice. Well, I want that one. Okay, you have given them that opportunity to make a choice. You have empowered them. You are an empowered parent. That's one of my programs. Stick around right after the break here. Back in 2 moments.
You're listening to OTR FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hello, I'm Miriam Knight of New Consciousness Review, inviting you to my new show where I interview the rising stars of the conscious awakening. We'll explore the many faces of consciousness in action and intriguing perspectives on life, the universe, and everything in between. Join us each Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern on the Rising Stars Show.
This is Terry Van Horn, and I want to invite you to join me for my weekly radio show, Healing Light, on OM Times Radio, every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On Healing Light, we want to bring love, light, and blessings into your world. You can find out more about us at www.healinglightonline.com. Blessings.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at OM Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. OM Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
About empowering a parent. How do we do that? Well, in dealing with a three-year-old, as I was going over just to recap what we were covering, if you have a three-year-old and you're wanting to give them a choice. Why do you want to give them a choice? Well, if they're resisting you, you say, here's some clothes you can wear. This is one of the most common things I've noticed. Here's some clothes you can wear. Well, no, I don't want to wear those. Well, how about these? No, I don't want to wear those. You're giving them one choice. They don't have a choice to choose something different or choose for themselves. I solve that by giving them two choices called a presupposition. Which one would you like, this one or this one? Well, now they get to make some sort of a choice. They're now able to take some control in their life. However, it is control that you are now directing. As the parent, it is for you to be able to direct your child. It is for you to be able to mentor them, to be able to be that example to them on how they can be a now productive member of society. Everyone has their own personality, of course. And yet with that personality, we need to be able to adapt to them rather than trying to force them to adapt to us. Because just like water, if you pour water in any shape or size of container, it will always find the lowest point and level out. Okay? It will adapt. We need to be like water. We need to adapt to the person, adapt. Each container is going to have a different shape. It's going to have a different volume. It will be able to hold the water a little bit differently than the one next to it. Some of them may look like they're identical, and yet it might just be a tiny imperfection or a tiny change that makes them different. We can then recognize this, hopefully, in recognizing our adaptability with our communication skills and adapt our communication to fit that person. Now, you say, well, that's great with a three-year-old. You use those presuppositions. But what about a teenager? I'm glad you asked. It's the same idea. Teenagers want to be respected, correct? Now, with that three-year-old, I was also mentioning a thing called consequences. I didn't go into it too much. Break was coming up. Now we can talk about consequences a bit more. And then I'll explain how you can use that same idea with a teenager. And it's fantastic, actually. Okay, so a consequence. I mentioned you have this child wants to be able to make their own choice and they want to have a different clothes than what you're offering them. Okay. You say, okay, these are your two choices. Which one would you like? Well, I don't want either one of those. I want this one over there. And you can let them know, all right. If you want to work with them and give them a little bit of a chance, you can say, okay, you'll grab that one over there and then you're grabbing these two and say, which one would you like? Now they get to make that choice. If you don't feel that other choice is appropriate, for example, it's snowing outside and they want to wear a pair of swim shorts, no, that's not appropriate. You're not going to wear that. These are your two choices. I don't want to wear anything. I don't want to wear those. Okay, you don't have to. You notice I said you don't have to? If you are trying to push something, kind of like a salesperson, you're going to push it on them. They're going to buy something. Rather than being an individual who is offering, not selling them, but offering them an opportunity, offering them something, that you take away the pressure and you take away the pushiness. Parents oftentimes trying to sell their kids. Hey, you want this, don't you? Oh, you really want this. Open up your mouth. Ah, and the nasty food goes in. Okay. Instead of trying to force your child or spouse or teenagers especially, instead, don't make it personal. Big part that's very difficult to do, especially initially. Don't make it personal. When you do, you get upset, you get angry, and things can set you off. And this has happened to me even recently. It's the first time in a long time. Like, oh man, what's going on? I apologize profusely for letting my stress get to me. And yet, taking it personal and making it personal when it's not meant that way can really ruin relationships. And you really have to do a lot of work to be able to make it up to that person and make up for what you were doing, getting upset, angry, yelling, whatever that was. So being able to recognize, okay, don't take it personal in this situation. If they don't want to make a choice between the two, that's fine. I'm not going to force them. However, there are consequences. Now, consequences are different than punishments. People want to say they use punishments. Punish them. No. Do not punish. Do not punish. A punishment is something that you give them, especially when working with children. This also works in business. If you have a manager and you have an employee and the employee is not doing what you want, if you punish that employee, punitive actions, if you go out of your way to cause them this feeling of, I'm going to impose this upon you, that's going to cause resentment, anger, frustration, and they are going to take it negatively, and they may not be a an employee there very long. You could lose a very valuable person because of your stubbornness and your desire to make them do what you said and force them. However, there are things called consequences. Now, consequences are not good or bad. Contrary to popular belief, they are not good or bad. They are simply a natural result of the choices that you have made. Natural result. They're nothing new. They're just a natural result of the choices you've made. And so if you make a choice, this is going to happen naturally. If you decide you're going to kick a brick wall, chances are your toes are going to hurt. Punch a brick wall. Chances are your fist is going to hurt. Car into a brick wall. Chances are your car is not going to be in the same state. Most likely crumpled, broken. Brick wall probably having some issues too. Okay? Natural consequences. Then there are also the consequences of society based on law, based on, for example, if you don't show up for work. Now, in nature, okay, so what if you don't show up for work? What happens if you don't? Well, you lose your job. Is that a natural consequence? Well, it's actually more of an imposed consequence. However, it is the natural, or it is a course based on the choices you made, and someone else is enforcing that choice of yours. Okay, an enforced choice, if you will, consequence. Because with that choice that you've made, you now have a consequence based on it. It's a choice you made, and now something is going to happen based on that. Because now you're working with society, there are laws, there are these rules, if you will, of society, which you now need to follow if you're wanting positive outcomes. I hope that makes sense, because looking at a child, they say, I'm not going to stop hitting my sibling. Okay, what's the consequence for that? Well, the consequence, you don't get to be around your friends because we don't want you to hit them either. Oh, and you can't also be online because we don't want you to abuse anybody by yelling or screaming at them. Oh, you also can't watch any TV because your other siblings are acting nice and we don't want you to be in that. So you can be alone by yourself, and when you want to talk to me about it, well, we can talk. Now, I'm not getting angry. I'm not telling them, well, okay, you're in the corner. I think corners are great. However, I don't make it about them as a person. I make it about their behavior. That's the thing that I call non-judgmental attitude. We're separating the person and their actions from who they are inside, that person. Okay? So when you separate their personhood, the individual, from their actions, now you address the actions. You're not calling them names. You're not attacking them with words. Instead, you're now addressing the issue. The consequences are their choices, and that's their behavior, which we're now dealing with. Very important part of this. They themselves, the person, is not a bad person. Their actions may be negative and have negative consequences, yes, but they themselves are not a bad person. And parents, please understand this. When you start telling your kids, you're not good enough, you're dumb, you're stupid, you're ugly, anything along those lines, even if it's dealing with religion and saying, you know what, this right here, God is not happy with you. Okay, great, guilt trip. That's really going to help me want to be better. It will for a time, and then oftentimes they rebel, and all the hard work, the parent, or this perceived hard work, that parent has put into that child seems at a loss. And so instead of trying to guilt trip or use force in some way, verbal or physical force, to impose your will on your child, your spouse, coworkers, whatever, it's all the same. I'm just using the reference right now of children. If you choose to force your will on them, they will rebel. It will backfire on you. It may take a while. It will happen, though. You're not going to build those positive, solid relationships. Whereas, what I will do is I will remind them. I will remind them of all the nice things that they do like to do, these privileges. Oh, they're privileges. They're not your right. No. Legally, based on me being your parent and you being my child, legally I have to have a roof over your head, a place for you to sleep. No, that does not mean a bed in your bedroom. It means a place to sleep. It can be a sleeping bag on the floor. Some people can't afford a bed, so they have a sleeping bag on the floor. That's good enough. So legally, that's what I can make sure you have. Okay, you need to be able to have clothing. Great. Let's go shopping at the thrift stores. thrift store. They'll have great clothes there. Yeah, only gently used, right? What do I want that I want name brand? Of course you do. That's nice. I'm glad you do. But legally, I am not obligated to get that for you. I'm required to have clothes on your body. Okay. Food. I'm required to feed you. It doesn't mean I have to go get pizza like we did the other night. No. We don't have to do that. All I have to do is feed you. Okay? I can get some, I don't know, the cheapest stuff I can find. Doesn't even have to be seasoned. Doesn't have seasoning at all. Nope. No salt and pepper. No, just food. And that is what I'm required to do by law. Okay? Anything else that you're receiving is a privilege. It is something that is a gift from you as the parent to your child because you love them and want the best for them. And helping parents understand they have this leverage, especially if you're able to get to them early enough that they're not going to rebel so hard, it makes a big difference. As they get older, you have to treat them more as you would somebody else that's an adult, respecting them more. You can respect them as they're younger, too, and yet you also have a lot more influence when they're younger, and hopefully you can guide them so you can avoid some of these pitfalls and traps. That's great. It's really important to do that. If you can't start young because they're already older, then we do the best we can. We adapt to where they are now, and we can then use other techniques. Still similar techniques we're already using, and yet we just have to adapt them to that person and where they're at right now. I hope that makes sense. And so with, say, an adolescent teenager, they want to play their video games. They're playing their video games. They come home from school. I deal with this on a regular basis. And I say, excuse me, are your chores done? Now, to accuse them of not doing their chores. No, I didn't. I don't have to accuse them. By accusing them, what I do is I actually am attacking them. I'm questioning their truthfulness, their honesty. I don't want to attack them. I want to build the relationship instead. By asking the question, they can then choose to be honest or not. Ah, that's very helpful for me. Then we can move on to the next stage. So I'll come here in just a few moments, right after the break. Stick around.
This is OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Being a radio host on IOM-FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Do you want to be a better communicator? Do you want to better connect with the important people in your life? Do you want to enrich your relationships? If so, join me, Matthew Cooper, on the Positive Control System show every Wednesday evening at 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time on OM Times Radio. I'll meet you there.
Time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth radio is conscious living for your soul every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
This is OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Do to continue along those same lines. We're talking about how we were able to have that communication as we were able to have those natural consequences and following through with them. I mean, consequences, as I mentioned before, are not good or bad. They are simply a natural result of the choices which we make. And with parents, as our children are making these choices, they're learning, they're growing, they're experiencing these different things, they need to now be able to have someone that's going to enforce their choices. Now, why do I say that? Well, the reason why they need to enforce them is because if the parents do not enforce their child's choices, then who will? Well, society will have to. That oftentimes comes later on, and that usually goes on to having time behind bars, okay? That is part of what we're dealing with that natural, almost, I won't say natural, it's going to be the enforcement of those consequences. If we don't do so as parents, chances are society will take care of it at a later date. Kind of like a check that's just waiting to bounce. It's going to take a while. It will bounce, though, and it may not be a very pleasant situation. An example, I had a girlfriend in the past that I had noticed, like, this is kind of strange. I mean, she was talking about her childhood. Man, she pushed those boundaries as far as she could, and her parents would not give her any rules, any boundaries. And so she pushed and pushed and pushed, including being able to get into drugs. I mean, she was drinking and smoking at what? 13, 14. And mom saw cigarettes in her pocket. What did she do? Oh, you need to give these back to your friends. Mom, they're not my friends. They're mine. Well, you have to give them back to your friends. These are not supposed to be here. They're mine, mom. No, these are your friends. Her mom refused to accept that she was smoking. When she was driving, she'd find in her trunk, she was looking there, what happened to my beer? She was 16 years old. She was in the garbage. Mom, what are you doing? Throw away my beer. That's not your beer. That's your friend's beer. They're not supposed to have that in the car. And so you should just throw it away or give it back to him. Mom, it's mine. And it was really strange. Her mom would not recognize that. And neither her mom nor her dad, no matter what she did, she did everything she could. Some of the stories she told me was just almost horrifying. The things that she would do to shock her parents into giving her those boundaries. What to me, what that would be is a call, is a cry for help. Cry for, give me some structure, mom and dad. Give me structure so I know you love me. I know what to do. I know what is expected of me. She didn't do that. She did not ever get that from her parents. Even to this day, her mom still, it's almost like a conscious blinding where her mom does not see how she has acted and how she's been in her life. I didn't know most of these things when I first met her, and as time passed, I realized, whoa, there are some definite challenges that she has with her past, and having worked through some of these issues, I don't want any of that. That's not going to fit for me, where I do have that, well, we can call it being strict, making sure we have that structure in our lives for ourselves and for our children. And when our children have those structures, have that boundary of what's appropriate, what's not, that's where the consequences come in. When you have those boundaries, they can feel safe. And when they feel safe, then they can learn. Then they can grow. They can trust. They can love. All of these things can now happen when they feel safe. When they don't feel safe, it's very, very difficult for those children to feel loved and accepted. And so when they do feel that love and acceptance, when they feel safe, they can now move forward, and the parent is now someone who can teach them. The parent is now a person they can look up to and then is willing to work with them. And I've noticed this over the years as I've worked in the troubled youth industry with my clients, working with the professionals, these people that I train and certify as a certified instructor to be able to go and teach this at their facilities to their staff members. I have seen it over and over, as well as training the staff members from other facilities that are calling me in directly to do the training. I've noticed over and over, like, wow, this is a really interesting repeating issue. So many of these kids, they have an issue with their parents because their parents are not there for them. The parents do not give them the boundaries. The parents try and throw money at the problem instead, saying, hey, fix my child here, send him to this facility, rather than taking a few moments or hours to be able to spend with their child and build that relationship, that love, that trust. I remember having a lot of these challenges, especially with my youngest son. Oh, for the first couple of years after I got divorced, I'm like, wow, how do I deal with this? He's so needy, so wanting of this attention. Oh, it's not that he's needy. He's wanting dad to know, or wanting to know if dad loves him and willing to give attention to him. And that was on me. That was my issue, that I was not providing for him. Once I realized that, oh, okay, if I'm working on my computer, if I'm being able to be engaged in what I'm currently working on, whether it's reading, whether it's research, whether it's typing, whether it's writing, whatever it is, if he comes in to talk to me, I will have to let go of my hands off the keyboard, turn and face him, look at his face, and talk to him directly. And that has made the biggest change in our relationship. Absolutely the biggest change, because now he sees dad giving him that respect of attention, giving him that time where he can now speak to me about whatever it is he's excited about. It doesn't have to be exciting to me. If he is excited about it, I can now accept that and I can be there for him. And I can now show him I love him. I can ask him questions because I'm listening, actively listening, and letting him know that I am. Communication with our children, that causes them to also follow those same patterns in their relationships, and it's going to be perpetuating. I noticed the same thing with my dad. When he would come home from work, he's a doctor. He did great work. Great man. And he got so overloaded with people that he wanted to be essentially alone after he got off work. Understandable. Getting to work at the office, you work with 70, 80, 100 patients, have to interact with each one of them. Oh, it's exhausting. Emotionally draining and exhausting. He was in front of the TV the rest of the night, eating, would not have hardly any contact with us kids. I can look back on that and understand where he's coming from. It doesn't mean that I agree. I can understand, though. Because I used to do that same thing because I learned from him. In learning from him, I have been able to recognize, you know what, these are the things I don't want with my children. And then I learn from that and I'm able to apply them. And I appreciate that he was able to learn from that or experience that so I could recognize it for my family. There are teachers all around us, every day, all day long. Are we looking for them? Are we recognizing that everyone around us can teach us something? Even if it's that something they can teach us about ourselves, whether we're judgmental, whether we are making that effort to accept them for who and how they are. These are all things that help us internally, the people which we are working to become, to be better, to make the difference in their lives, those people who are important in our lives, make a difference to them, as well as improving our lives. It's a choice. It's absolutely a choice. Wherever we are, that's the place that we are. We need to start from there. Don't try and start from next week, next month, next year. It's start here now. There's a Zen saying that if you cannot find it where you are standing, where do you expect to wander in search of that? Once again, if you cannot find it where you are standing, where do you expect to wander in search of it? Have any of you heard of the story, or you can call it a parable even if you'd like, of the Acres of Diamonds? I'm going to paraphrase it very quickly. It's been influential in my life and in really helping me to understand what's going on with how people are interacting and where I was at. Acres of Diamond Diamonds is about a farmer in Africa. He hears about the diamond rush. Oh, you can find diamonds and you can completely solve all of your financial issues and worries. Oh, okay, cool. So he throws essentially away his farm and sells his farm to another farmer and then rushes off to become a prospector for diamonds. Searches for years, can't find anything, and destitute, depressed, he throws himself off of a bridge into a river and drowns. Well, the guy who bought the farm, in a positive way, bought the farm from the other farmer, goes out in the back and finds these cool-looking rocks. Oh, sweet, puts them on his mantle. A friend comes over and says, oh, do you know what those rocks are? No, they're just pure pretty rocks. We got a whole bunch of them back out and back. That became the site of one of the richest diamond mines in history. What it means to me, and what some of the other people have explained it, which also helped me to understand what it means to me, is that we have resources we may not understand or even know about in our own backyard, in our minds, in our lives, in our experiences. We may not recognize them for what they are, and yet they are there. With a little knowledge, we'll be able to figure out what those are, especially when working with families. Mahatma Gandhi says, we must become the change we want to see in the world. And if I am that change and recognizing that I have diamonds in the rough, in my backyard, I can now be able to use that information, be able to take these skills, polish them, and make them into things of beauty, things which are worthwhile to myself, my family, and those in the world who can be able to take advantage of it. Please do your best to make those changes in yourself first before trying to point your finger at others. You can make that difference. This is Matthew Cooper with the Positive Communication Show on Om Times Radio, signing off. Catch you next week.